It's a beautiful morning. I think I'll go outside for a while. Just smile. Just taking some clean, fresh air for me.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. It's a beautiful morning, and that means it is time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. The Rascals, how about that, Mike?
The Young Rascals.
The Young Rascals, the young Rascals. Yes, excuse me.
I'm telling you, Meg, you are truly a child of the 60s.
There's no doubt about it. Oh, what could I say?
Yeah, I couldn't say anything nicer.
Well, I was influenced by my big sister, because she was actually about 10 years older than me. So she would come home, okay, y'all, hold on to your hats, with the 45s, right? And she would have this little 45 player, and she would play like that song over and over and over, like anything that they left. And then you had the B-side, and I can't remember.
Be Young, Be Foolish, Be Happy.
Yeah, is that on the B-side?
Wasn't that the B-side
of
that record?
Oh, that's one of my favorite songs. We're going to have to find that one. So then when I got to college all those years later, there was sort of a resurgence, you know, the toga parties and Be Young, Be Foolish, Be Happy. Was it the Platters or the Tams? They would play it live.
Right.
And everybody would shag dance to that. Oh, I'm done. I'm in my memory world now. It's all your fault.
Great memories.
Promise you that. Music takes you right there, doesn't
it? Oh, it does.
It always does.
You know, I look at that music that you just played. We'll get to gardening in a minute. But yeah, I look at the music you just played, and these musics that you and I have been playing over the last month or
just
so.
Just having fun
are
with
classics.
It.
Yeah. They're classics. I just wonder if 40 years from now, if they'll still be classics, or some of the music we're hearing today will be classics then. I don't know,
because my mother, I can remember my mom saying, I just don't understand the music today. There's just no, because she loved Frank Sinatra, right? She's, it's just too fast. I don't understand. You know, it's like, so I sit here and I listen to music today, and I'm like, I don't understand what they're saying. Like, what's a super exactly. I don't know, understand what he's singing. Yeah. So
like
I'm turning into my mother, I think, I'm afraid. So.
Well, that's not so bad.
Only if you only knew her. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it is interesting because I think about that too. The kids, are they even aware? Like the Beatles, their kids have never even, I mean, they were born in 2000. They have no clue about the Beatles from the 60s.
None whatsoever.
It's wild to me.
You're right. Our parents looked at the first album I bought by the Beatles and said, what about those haircuts?
Yes.
And I think my hair today is longer than was on that album.
And I saw a thing from the Ed Sullivan show where they showed them, and the commentators said at the time the haircuts were just so radical. And I'm looking at them, they're so lame. Like, they just look hilarious. They're like little page boy cuts. Oh my God.
Exactly. You know, Meg, one of these days we need to do a music show.
Oh, I'm in. Count me in.
Play some of the old ones.
The music line?
And we got friends we could bring in here and discuss it.
All right.
We better get to gardening.
I know. Everybody's anxiously awaiting. Okay. And if you have a gardening question, you can always text it in to Mike at 850-437-1620.
Right. Just a couple of weather notes. Today's going to be one of the great days of the year.
It's beautiful.
So it's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be the 70s sunshine. It's going to be beautiful. And I think I mentioned last week that I looked on my computer and looked long range into March, and I did not see one day we were in the 30s.
Really?
Not one day. Now, I don't believe that.
You think last week was it?
Yeah. Well, I would hope. But remember, we had snow in March one year in Pensacola.
Yes. Did we?
Yeah, we did.
Exactly. Oh, wow.
So you just never know. But the thing about it is we're looking to spring very, very shortly. But March is such a, I don't want to say a weird month. That's
it
a
is
long
a,
way to say it.
No,
but
it's a weird month.
When it comes to, it is a month. But as far as gardening is concerned, we all get these 70-degree days, and we're just fired up for to put our vegetable garden in, to put our annuals in, to get that color in the yard, put our buy new tropicals because the ones we had are all dead.
And I saw them for sale at one of the stores I was at yesterday.
Absolutely. So, you know, and some people obviously will roll the dice. Mm-hmm. They'll say, I'm going to take a chance and see what happens. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Hope that cold doesn't come. Let's hope that those freezes, let's just stay in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s in March and hope for the best. We will see. I will say this, two things about last week. One, I do hope that the Camellia Garden Tour happened. It happened on Sunday, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
And it rained all day
that's
long.
Right.
If Catherine's listening, And she, Catherine, if you went, tell us if it happened at all. I didn't know if they would have canceled it or what, but it did rain all day long. But that Sunday rain, except for getting in the way of the Camellia show, was just what we need in the springtime.
Mm-hmm.
A long, slow rain as opposed to a big thunderstorm coming in. That gets that water down deep.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of gets things started. So that was a great rain to have. We could use a few more of those. But it looks like we're going to be kind of dry this week. Maybe Thursday, I think, possible 30% rain. But for the most part, we're going to be 70s during the day and 40s at night. And that's nice.
Okay, so what is it they say about in March is in like a lion, out like a lamb? So do we already have our February cold? So March is coming in quiet, hopefully?
That could be. We'll see.
Oh, we'll see. Very good.
Is that Shakespeare? I don't know who said that.
I don't think that's Shakespeare. I don't either. I'm not sure where that came from, but I'm sure someone will find out for us. How's that?
Oh, yeah. Somebody will tell us. In any event, that's the weather. It looks like it's going to be very, very good. I do want to mention a few things about trees today.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because before we get too far into the spring, we need to talk about that because now is really the time to do it. But I have one deal. I got this, and this is kind of interesting, from a text from Danelle Williams, who is a extension agent in Gadsden County.
Okay.
And she talks about a subject a lot of people talk about this time of year. They said, man, we had snow, we had cold. Thank goodness the insect population is going to be reduced this summer.
Is it?
Danielle says, not so fast.
That's what I had thought.
Not so fast, buddy. She says these insects are they're cold-blooded,
mm-hmm.
and so they can't control their temperature. So when it gets 50 degrees and below, they take action. They either go into hibernation.
Really?
Exactly. Or they find a microclimate where it's a little bit warmer, like they burrow into big piles of leaves and that type of thing. And they migrate. And I have a great example.
Bugs migrate?
Well, let's talk about monarch butterflies.
Well, that's a whole different class.
Okay. Whole different class. They migrate. And the reason I mention that, I hope our audience got a chance to watch America.
I haven't, but I heard it was great.
Tom Franks does all the narrating.
You mean Tom Hanks?
Yeah, Tom Hanks. He did the narrating. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And different sections of the country. And this was about monarchs hibernating, flying from all over the U.S. to Mexico.
Right.
And they gather on these trees, and there are thousands of them gathered on these trees. And they stay there until it warms up and the light comes.
Oh, wow.
And they migrate back. Some of them, they talked about, just didn't have the strength to do it. So they fall off the trees,
oh.
and they hit the ground, and they work real hard. And finally, some of them recover and then fly north. But anyway, it's a fascinating show. I'm sure they're going to, well, it's a series.
That's right. Yeah, I've heard about it. Yeah.
It's a series, but this was the first one, and I looked forward to it. I thought it might be fun. So, going back to the bugs migrating, that was a monarch. That's not an insect, but mm-hmm. It was interesting. But our chinch bugs, sod webworms, those little varmints are tropical. They're a little different than some of the other insects we get, like scale and beetles and that type of thing. And they only going to show up when it gets hot.
Okay.
When the turf gets hot, because they're very, very tropical. And so we need to deal with that. Way in another show.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about that. But anyway, I thought it was interesting when the young lady from Gadsden County says, the insects are going to be just as active as they've ever been. Maybe not more, but just as active. Except for wasps.
Uh-huh.
Wasps will, except for the queen,
mm-hmm.
the queen that's getting ready to have little ones, they die.
Really?
And then the queen is alive with the eggs. They all hatch, and there you go. But that's what wasps do.
Interesting. Okay.
And one thing about wasps I found out. One interesting thing.
Hold that thought because we're going to take a quick break. It's been flying by.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back to hear more about the wasps and the queen on News Radio 92.3. This is Pep Talk. You've got a question. 850-437-1620. Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it's the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We were talking about wasps right before the break, and you wanted to add another item
about
that.
One little thing that I read, it was all news to me, is that wasps, in this article I read, they're meat eaters. They eat other insects.
They do?
Exactly. And some farmers put wasps into their crops.
Really?
Wasps will eat some of the damaging insects.
Huh.
I never heard that.
Who was that comic? I did not know. Oh, Johnny Carson. I did not know that. I did not know that. Interesting.
It's one of my heroes, by the way.
Uh-oh, here we go. We digress again.
We better not go there. Let's talk a little bit about trees.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, if you're going to buy a tree, historically, there's three ways to do that, to buy a tree. One is what we used to call it bare root.
Okay.
In other words, back when I was in the business, way, way early in the business, we would buy trees. They'd come in a big bundle. They'd have just the roots would be exposed. They'd be covered like in pine straw or something. And then you'd dig a trench. You'd kind of lay the roots of the trees in the trench and cover it with dirt and keep it moist.
Mm-hmm.
And people would buy the tree, take it home, and immediately plant it.
Okay.
Those bare root. It made them kind of inexpensive. But I don't think anybody does that anymore. The second way is bald and burlap. You may have seen that, especially for big trees. For example, if they're going to dig a big tree, a big oak tree, let's say a 15, 20-foot oak tree, and to take it generally for a commercial on planting, they'll dig it up, and they'll wrap it in burlap and put all these pins in the burlap to hold it around the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll either, when they just get ready to put it into the planting hole, take the burlap off, or just get a knife, a machete, or a box cutter and cut the burlap so the roots can escape. That's bald and burlap. But most of the ways to buy it nowadays, the way you and I would buy a tree, is container grown. That's the best way to buy a tree for the simple reason, if you're going to plant a bare root tree or one bald and burlap, when you dig it out of the ground, you're going to destroy some of the roots.
Makes sense.
It still will work, but sometimes it's going to be a slower grow. If it's grown in a container, all the roots are right there within that container. And then when you take it out, you do how you handle azaleas, taking them out of a container. You do what they call score the roots with a knife or, like I say, a box cutter, whatever, loosen them up and then put it into the hole. So container-grown trees are your best trees if you're out purchasing a tree. And most of your garden centers are going to have that nowadays, but it's still the best way to do it.
Do you recommend a particular tree for a first-time tree grower?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. I think it would take 2 hours to go through all these. I'm going to kind of do a lightning round through some of these trees, okay? Let's just name the ones that I like, the ones in Pensacola. Let's do some that are current. A redbud. A redbud tree is, you can see it now, it's got red blossoms on it, and it's generally an understory tree.
What does that mean?
That means it does best in filtered shade.
Oh, understory. Oh, okay.
Under pine trees or under oak trees, that type of thing. But it's a real harbinger of spring. Sends out these red blossoms early on. It's a great tree if you need one. It's not going to get huge like some of these other trees we're going to talk about. So a redbud is a good tree. I almost would call it a native tree.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine the experts would differ with me, but it's been around forever. Okay, here's one of my next favorites, river birch. River birch is a tree that has two things that are really pretty. One, it has, golly, for lack of a better word, maybe kind of delicate foliage as opposed to big sycamore-like leaves. And it has that beautiful red, peely bark. Kind of reminds you of the old Indian canoes.
I've seen that.
You know,
yes.
They had the birch trees with the white peely bark. Well, this is kind of a red, peely bark. And most people, not everybody, most people plant it in a multi-trunk situation. In other words, it's got three trunks coming up, and then it's got the foliage. So it's a great tree, and it'll grow fast, and it'll grow tall. So river birch is one of the ones I really recommend for certain areas. Okay, here's one that is blooming right now, a Japanese magnolia.
Oh.
Got the big saucer-like blooms that are absolutely gorgeous. Matter of fact, I saw a tree the other day that's about to lose its blossoms.
Oh, wow.
The technical name is Magnolia saliangiana. Magnolia, it's a
listen
Japanese.
To you.
I know, I just made that up. No, I didn't. That's really, it is what it is. But it's a Japanese magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to grow too tall, but it does have those really early spring blossoms on it. I mean, I saw some with snow on them.
You really?
Know, when it snowed, absolutely. Okay, here's a basic. You asked which tree to plant if you wanted to.
If you're just getting started,
you want a nice shade tree for your yard, and you want it to grow relatively big. Plant a red maple.
Oh.
Plant a red maple. A red maple has obviously those beautiful maple leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good color in the fall. And you also have red maple and you have silver maple. And you can tell the difference by the stems. Red maple, the stems are red. And the silver maple, they're just kind of green.
Okay, so got it.
In any event, that's a red maple, which really is a great tree to plant in Pensacola. Okay, now here's one we all talk about, and we need to talk about this a little bit more. Crepe myrtle, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Warren Briggs, our friend Warren Briggs, bless his heart, wanted to make Pensacola the crepe myrtle of the center of the South. And he worked hard at it and did pretty good.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them out there. In any event, he said, I want everybody to plant at least one crepe myrtle. And a lot of people did. They are great. Crepe myrtle technically is a shrub, not a tree.
Really?
And one way you can tell that, obviously, is if you plant a crepe myrtle, invariably from the base, at ground level, you're going to have new growth coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And what we all do on that is simply chop that off. Let's pursue those crepe myrtles when we get back from the break.
All right, here we go. We're at Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. If you want to call in or text, 850-437-1620. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, touching on a couple of different subjects now since the weather has gotten so beautiful. We've been talking a bit about, bugs, insects, and trees. So we were just discussing the crepe myrtle and how we see so many of those in the Pensacola area. So I love them. I think they're beautiful.
Oh, there's no question. And all different colors. And the thing about crepe myrtles, if you, let's go about what we have to do today. It's time to prune them. We talked about that.
Okay.
We don't want to create crepe myrtle. That's what we don't want to do. We don't want to cut them back too far.
Did you say crepe myrtle?
Yeah, I did say.
That sounds so ominous.
Oh, it is ominous. And it looks ominous, too, when you do it.
That's awful.
Horrible. You don't want to prune them all the way back to a nub. That's just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Prune that new growth back 30%, maybe 50%, because they're going to bloom on new growth. But now's the time to do it. I like doing it in February. Matter of fact, I can't get on a ladder anymore. I'm not going to get on the ladder anymore.
Probably not.
Much too old for that. But I have a guy who prunes back my crepe myrtles, and he did it a week and a half ago.
Okay.
And they look great. He did a great job, but he didn't bring them all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Now they'll bloom. I mean they'll send up new growth. They'll live. It's not going to kill the tree. But what that does is it sends up a bunch of little growth, little limbs, if you will. And the term in the business, that's called witch's broom.
Oh, okay.
If you do that. So if you're going to prune the crepe myrtle, just don't cut it back all the way to the nub. That's the wrong thing to do. Also, a lot of people really want a certain color of crepe myrtle.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll go buy one, it'll have a tag on it that says, red. That red could easily be
pinkish.
It could be what you really are looking for, which is the old watermelon red.
Mm.
So the best thing to do for crepe myrtles, if you really have a color preference, is wait. Wait till they're blooming at the garden center. It'll be planted in a container, so you could plant it in the summer. Now is the best time, but you could do it if you do it right. That way you can get exactly the color you want, mm-hmm. because don't rely on that tag that says red, or sometimes it doesn't have a tag at all, and it's just a nice looking tree, but you'd have no idea what color. They come in white, pink, mm-hmm. all different colors.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Someone just texted in. It looks like Dan from Molina said his favorite magnolia, you were talking about those earlier, is the tulip magnolia.
That's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
I think we're talking about the same thing.
Yes, all right. Right. Well, we're going to be back. We got plenty more to talk about on the Garden Line on Pep Talk at Pensacola's Expert Panel, 850-437-1620. We'll be back after the news on News Radio 92.3.
It's a beautiful morning.
Just smile.
What a treat to have the Young Rascals in the studio today.
Yes, thanks guys for coming in.
Oh, just great. We really appreciate it.
Wow. Oh, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel with Meg, and this is The Garden Line with Sir Mike Wiggins joining us this morning.
Got a few texts?
Yes, we sure do. Let me see what we've got going here. So we had a text about, let's see, we've got a couple things. Hang on, let me pull everything up for you. So we had one I know for sure, which was about the bugs. Mike, I think it was sent in a picture about the green, the picture that I showed you.
Oh, the weeds.
The weeds, I'm sorry, the weeds. Yes,
the weeds.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. And talking about it turning into a sticker, that is called, once again, thank you for the picture. When we get pictures, it makes it so much easier to...
Yes, Michael Taylor had sent that in. Yeah, he was saying that he's got
Michael,
this.
Michael Taylor, I think, has been a listener for a long time. And Michael, we appreciate it. We really do.
He calls them his little tiny green nightmares.
Well, that's true.
They turn brown and die, and then they morph into these stickers that hurt, especially on dog paws.
Oh, no doubt. What you sent us was a picture of a burrweed.
Okay.
I think it's B-U-R-R weed, burrweed, which also, and this is no surprise, another name for it is sticker weed.
Oh, ow.
So, Mike, that's kind of telling your whole story. What I would do with that, of course, is hopefully get your pre-emergence out to keep maybe some future ones from coming, and maybe some of your post-emergence weed killer. You got to wait a little bit until your grass comes out of dormancy, and then use a product like Trimec to see if you can get some control on them. But I think your pre-emergence is going to be your best bet. And if you're going to do that, we were going to talk about that later, but let's chat about it real quick now. If you're going to put out your pre-emergence weed killer to help inhibit weeds from coming up, now is the time. We usually talk about mid-February, but with this 70-degree weather, mm-hmm. you're going to get a bunch of weed germination. And once they germinate, then it's kind of too late. Some of your pre-emergence do have some post-emergence qualities to them, but... you need to do it right now.
Okay.
You need to do it right now. But, Michael, one other thing. If that burrweed is in a spot where there's no grass, one of your what we call non-selective weed killers that kills everything but yet doesn't sterilize the soil might be your best bet. But don't do it if it's in good grass. Use a non-selective cause. Obviously, you'll kill the grass.
So okay, very good. Thanks
anyway,
for sending that in,
thanks
Michael.
Thanks for the picture, Michael. We appreciate it.
Okay, and then we got another picture from Daniel Paquette. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Daniel. This is my favorite tree. Beautiful picture of a tulip magnolia. He lives in Molino.
Yeah, absolutely. That's that Magnolia saliangiana. It's beautiful, blooming now. Mm-hmm. You see all the blooms on it. And you know one thing I liked about the picture he sent us was, I'm sure it's taken some work, is how he's pruned it.
Oh, the shape of it is so pretty.
It's a multi-trunk, more than three. It's got more than three trunks to it, easy. But they're all, you know, they're bare. Mm-hmm. And then you've got your top of your tree. And it's a big tree, but it also looks to me like it is close to a much taller deciduous tree. So I would think that as we get into the summer, it's not in total sun. A beautiful tree, well taken care of, and I congratulate him
All right. Okay. We got another text in now. This is the second week we've talked about this a little bit, but I actually asked Mike this question when I came in this morning, because I'm looking at my garden and I have those, what do you call those mud things that are left over from the wasps?
Yeah, the wasps
that are up on the ceiling.
The nest.
The nest. Yeah. So we've had a text from Sarah Lynn has been asking, how do I get rid of those and the hornets and the bees? And is this the time of year? What do you do to
prevention? What I would do. If you've got a wasp nest right now, and it's in the eaves of your house or somewhere like that, I don't believe you've got the wasp in there now, but it doesn't make any difference. Just to be sure, I would buy the wasp and hornet jet spray, which is an aerosol that does what it says, sends out a forced, as much as 10 feet, so you don't have to get too close to the nest. Spray it. Drench it, do it late in the afternoon, 5, 6, 7 o'clock. That's what I would do. And if you see the wasp by chance coming back, do that. And a new nest, do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But once you see that nest is there's no bugs in it, get your rake or a hoe or something and get it off. Get off the house. Throw it in the trash.
So you definitely want to spray it before you start whacking at it.
I would, just to be safe.
You're running around the garden with wasps chasing you.
Well, because they sting.
Oh, yeah.
I have read about wasps that they're not aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't be sitting in your patio chair and they're gathered up and saying, I'm going to get that guy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that. I think you have to bother them.
Oh, well, they're defending their nest, obviously.
They're defending their nest.
Of course.
Exactly. Because remember now, the only thing that comes over year to year is the queen, and, you know, she's expecting. The worker bees and all that are gone.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway.
All right. Interesting. Okay, well, thank you, Sarah Lynn,
for that question.
And then we got another question from Vicki. She says, how do you get rid of Jack Reed?
Of what?
Jack Reed, it says. Or did she mean weed? Jack Reed?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that is.
Unless it's a person.
Jack Reed, he lives over in East Hill.
Maybe Vicki sent a little clarification on that question.
Hey, Vicki, I'm not sure what that is. Could you maybe clarify just a little bit for us?
Okay.
As to what that is?
All right.
If it's a weed, we can probably talk about it, but
if it's a person, probably not so much.
Exactly. Jackie says, those guys are idiots. Quit talking like that.
Oh, she says, I think it's called blackjack weed. I caught them hitchhikers.
Okay, blackjack weed. Somebody else listening is going to know what we're talking about.
Okay, all right. In the meantime, Catherine sent in a reminder to us, and we were talking about the camellia show that we had last weekend, I believe. And she said the next camellia show and plant sale will be March 8th at the main library at noon to 3. So you could already go ahead and mark your calendar. It's not that far away now. It's just a couple weeks, March 8th from noon to 3 at the main library. So thanks for that update, Catherine. And then Vicki responded, sorry, Siri hates me. She's talking on Siri and it's translating for her, which is awful when you say something and then it turns out to be not what you meant. So we get it. No problem. And Catherine's adding to her text that it's at 230 at the main library that's over on 230 North Spring Street. So thanks, you all. If you have a text for Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, with Mike Wiggins in the garden line, we still got some more time. It's 850-437-1620. So I see you're busy over there looking something up, Mike.
I was trying to look up blackjack weed, and I see it, but I really am not sure what it's telling me. I'll tell you what, next week.
Okay, we'll look that up for you.
I'm writing it down now.
Okay. Did you hear she said about Siri?
misinterpreting
what she's saying.
Blackjack weed.
That's what she's, the last text.
Blackjack.
Okay. 850-437-1620. We are taking your questions this morning for Pep Talk in the Garden Line. And
we had a few more trees.
Yes. So we had the red tulip we talked about.
Yes.
Okay. And you have another one?
And we got the burrweed.
And we talked about crepe myrtles.
Okay. And we've tried to talk about blackjack weed, but
we'll figure that one out.
I've had no success, but we'll find out. Okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. 850-437-1620 if you have a question for Mike. And we have another one, Mike, for you. This one's from Lou, and he says, what do you recommend for young satsumas planted at the beach sand, mulch and liquid fertilizer, question mark?
Well, absolutely on both of those.
Okay.
Absolutely, no question. My question is, I assume, obviously, if it's planted in beach sand, it's at the beach. So, number one, I really would like to see it in a container or a flower bed that has more organic material.
Oh, okay.
Versus it's hard to grow in the sand. But probably the most important thing is to have it planted on the leeward side of your house, not on the windward side. Because I don't think that satsuma, I'm maybe proven wrong, is really going to enjoy that salt spray. Good example. I had some friends, I've mentioned this before, that love geraniums, you know, beautiful red geraniums. And they grew them at the beach in pots on their deck that overlooked the sound.
Oh, pretty.
Didn't overlook the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get it from away from that salt spray, you'd probably be okay. I mean, obviously, the sun is what it wants. That's perfect. The heat shouldn't bother it. That's okay. But I wish it was in a more organic area. But not being there, a good mulch, pine straw mulch would work. Even a cypress mulch would work. And then the liquid fertilizer is good. Even a granular might be better because in that beach sand, it's going to be like a sponge. That liquid is just going to go right through it. And I would think maybe a granular citrus fertilizer might be the better direction. So that's what I would do. But congratulations. You know, I've over the years, a lot of people will say, who live at the beach, I can't grow anything. I'm not even going to try. You know, I'm just going to let it go back to Mother Nature. But if you try, you can grow things at the beach. I've always said one of my best customers ever and great friend lives on Villa Sabine right there and has probably one of the best looking St. Augustine yards you'd ever see.
Huh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, the questions are pouring in this morning. I guess everybody's looking at their gardens because it's such a beautiful morning.
Oh, yeah, thinking spring.
Yes, sir. Well, we've got another question here. My roses have lots of purple red leaves right now, so I'm excited there seems to be lots of new growth. What should I be doing now to encourage healthy growth? I never know when I should start fertilizing or doing bug prevention as the weather warms up.
Good question.
We've been talking about that the last couple weeks now.
We did. On your roses, hopefully you've pruned them already. And some of the experts say take the leaves off, those old, you know, dead leaves, if you will. Take them off, cut the rose, and this is kind of a Cliff Notes version of what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take it down to even 6 to 8 inches. I'd say 8 inches. If it's a knockout rose, I wouldn't do much pruning at all, maybe about 20%. But if it's a traditional rose, like a tea rose, grandiflora, floribunda, come down on it. And start your fertilization. That was a great question. They are heavy feeders. They want to be fed every month. And black spot and mildew. Black spot's easy to diagnose. It's a nice green leaf with big black spots on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the mildew looks like you put baby powder on it. Those are two things that really will get to roses. And a rose dust is a good thing to use to dust that, which will generally take care of that. You also have insects, no doubt about it. You may need to treat that. But your black spot and mildew are your worst culprits insofar as rose damage is concerned. But, yes, now's the time. Cut them back. Remember we shot for Valentine's Day.
Yes, we talked about that.
Exactly. Go ahead, prune them back because they're going to start putting on that new growth. And go for it.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So we've got a lot of questions. If you have a question for Mark, Mike. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620.
Very good. Okay, we got to hit trees real quick.
Yes, sir.
To finish this up.
Okay.
You ready? I'm going to go real fast. Next tree, sycamore. Big tree, big leaves, messy tree. Not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it'll grow to the sky, but it'll drop those leaves. They're big as dinner plates, and then you've got to rake them up. Live oaks, my favorite, of course.
Beautiful.
One way to tell a live oak from other types of oaks is it has a cupped leaf. It's not a flat leaf. It's a cupped leaf. That's a live oak. What's the big disadvantage of a live oak? Dropping leaves in the spring. I think I told the story. I had a good friend of mine, after all the storms we had, said, well, I got all these oak leaves in my yard. It's over. They're not going to drop anymore. It hadn't even started.
Oh.
But it's amazing. It is a big mess early in the spring. But put up with it, because it's a great tree. It's a sturdy tree. Give you beautiful shade. And it's just, to me, it's, as opposed to like palm trees, it's just Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good southern trees. So
we can't beat that drive on 12th Avenue.
Oh, my goodness. You can't, can you? Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Okay, another one, elm trees. Drake Elms, I know the city has planted a lot downtown. It's kind of a purplish bark. It's just really kind of a peely bark also. Really pretty. Magnolias.
I love magnolias.
Well, I love them in somebody else's yard.
They are messy.
They are messy. They will drop leaves year-round.
Mm-hmm.
They have a big root system once they start getting real mature that will grow in, and your grass isn't going to grow. It's going to give you intense shade under which a lot of things won't grow. But they're beautiful. They're beautiful. I look going down Scenic Highway. Right there, I think it's by the cemetery there, has a whole line of magnolias. And when they bloom, they're absolutely gorgeous right there on Scenic Highway. But the good news is there's another type of magnolia called Little Jim.
Oh, okay.
It has been hybridized to grow literally straight up.
Huh.
So if you've got, you know, the Magnolia grandiflora is the big one.
Okay.
The one we're used to. Little Jim is one a lot of people don't have the space to grow that big one, but they want a magnolia. So Little Jim is one that you would plant. It's a great tree.
I love it. Okay, so another version of a magnolia that may not be as intense to take care of as the other one. Is the
no, it's going to drop leaves, but not as many.
Okay, there you go.
And in a little bitty space. Well, not really, but not as big as the other one.
All right, you're listening to The Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. Still a few minutes left for your questions. We'll be back right after the break. This is Pep Talk in The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got a few more trees to talk about this morning.
Don't have much time to do it. So
let's
let's roll through it. Cherry trees.
Oh, they're so pretty.
Ornamental cherry trees. Two types.
Okay.
One is a Kwanzaa, which is a white ornamental cherry tree. And the other one is a Yoshino. And that's a pink one.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So we got those two. Those are great. Great trees, smaller trees, beautiful color. Loquat trees, evergreen trees, really a nice small tree. But, man, are they messy. They drop those loquats, and they get all over the ground, all over your sidewalks. It's I love it because of the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of be kind of messy. Bradford pear. Bradford
Ooh.
Pear is a pretty tree, ornamental tree, of course. It's has a shape early on when it's young. To me, it's sort of tulip shape. But as it gets older, I think it gets less attractive.
Really?
I do. I really think so. But it's good. It is subject to a problem. We need to talk about this more another day. Fire blight. You look at a Bradford pear, and some of the limbs look like you put a blowtorch to it. Almost impossible to stop.
Huh. What causes that?
It's always, people have asked that question, and nobody has an answer. Some people have said, some of the experts, that believe it or not, in the spring, when you have a rain with a lot of wind, it puts some of that rainwater inside that plant, and that causes that fire blight. I'm not sure I buy that, but that's the only explanation I've ever seen. You probably just need to prune it out.
Right.
That's all you can do. And probably finally, if anybody ever offers you, I've got this greatest tree for you. It's called a popcorn tree. Don't take it. Don't plant it. Don't get one. They are invasive. They're on
really?
The Florida invasive list. They will take over property. They'll take over. They don't like them. They put them in natural areas
mm-hmm.
because they will take over. So do not plant a popcorn tree.
Okay.
That is something you don't want to do. So that really pretty well covers our trees. The only trees we didn't cover was some fruit trees. Maybe next week, very quickly, we can hit that. But then next week, let's start talking spring.
Okay.
Some things that we can do.
All right. Make a note of it. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. He is our Pensacola expert on gardening and flowers and trees and bugs and everything you can think of. So thank you so much, Mike, for being
here.
Thank
you, Meg.
Great show.
Great job. Thank you.